From Vermont Public, this is The Frequency. I'm Henry Epp.
And I'm Abigail Giles. It's Friday, January 6th.
Yesterday afternoon, Governor Phil Scott was sworn into his fourth term in office, and he delivered his inaugural address to a joint session of the legislature. It's a speech that's meant to set the legislative agenda in Montpelier over the next 2 years, and Scott devoted much of his address to economic disparities between urban and rural parts of the state.
Our colleague Peter Hirschfeld was there for the speech, and yesterday evening, he spoke to All Things Considered host Jen Jarecki about the big takeaways. Here's their conversation.
Pete, Governor Scott really put a spotlight on the economic and social challenges facing rural parts of Vermont. What does he want lawmakers to do about it?
So broadly speaking, Jen, the governor cast government bureaucracy and regulation as the obstacles to growth and prosperity in rural Vermont. And he set the stage for what he hopes is going to be a pretty aggressive push in Montpelier for permit and regulatory reform. Scott said financial investments in rural Vermont will be important, and he said Montpelier needs to help places like Wolcott and Dover and Canaan and Montgomery pay for sewer and water, for example, or broadband or other investments that provide a kind of foundation for the physical infrastructure that you need to revitalize rural communities. But he said outdated land use ordinances, both at the local and state levels, are thwarting the kind of environmentally responsible development, he says, that rural Vermont needs to get ahead. He called out the NIMBY crowd explicitly and said regulations make it possible for a small number of people to stand in the way of projects that improve the greater good. And the governor said if we don't address this issue, then we are at risk of a two Vermont kind of future where people in places like Burlington prosper and thrive, and our rural communities basically become enclaves for rich people with second homes.
Now, lawmakers haven't had much time to digest what they heard from the governor today, but what's the response been so far?
You know, there weren't any big or surprise proposals in the inaugural address. There wasn't a lot in there that lawmakers of all persuasions aren't generally going to agree with. So what we heard from lawmakers today was sort of a collegial appreciation of the governor's stated desire to work collaboratively across the aisle this year. House Speaker Jill Kerwinski and Senate President Pro Tem Phil Baruth issued a generic statement saying they share the governor's desire to have a vibrant and resilient future for all 14 counties. And they said they're eager to work with them on things like affordable housing and workforce development and climate change mitigation. Things are going to get contentious, of course, between Democratic lawmakers and the Republican governor. It's just not happening today after this speech. The one constituency I'll mention, Jen, that did raise immediate concerns with me about what they heard is childcare advocates. I talked to Allie Richards of Let's Grow Kids. She represents an organization that's calling on lawmakers and the governor for substantial increases in funding for childcare. Childcare got kind of a brief mention in the speech, but it was a little bit buried, and childcare advocates are saying the governor's speech did not come close to articulating the urgency of what they say is a childcare crisis. Let's Grow Kids is a pretty influential advocacy organization that endorsed Phil Scott for governor under the belief that he would deliver on childcare funding. And I think if they and other childcare organizations don't see some major proposals for new funding in Governor Phil Scott's budget address later this month, then that relationship could become a lot more adversarial and contentious than it has been up until this point.
And finally, Pete, what big policy initiatives can we expect to see from the governor in his budget address later this month based on what we heard from him today?
Well, the governor said he'll be unveiling a spending proposal tomorrow that will include significant new investments aimed specifically at rural economic development. So that's one thing lawmakers and us in the media are looking forward to diving into. The governor signaled a plan to redouble efforts to address what he says is an opioid epidemic in the state. So presumably more details to come on that in the budget address in a couple weeks. He referenced some health reforms he thinks are needed to respond to lack of access to crisis care for people experiencing mental health crises. And he also talked about improving the state's electrical vehicle charging infrastructure and also improving the the quality of the electricity transmission grid that's needed to deliver that power. The governor was very short on specifics today, but that's not unusual for an inaugural or a State of the State address, and we'll get a much clearer picture of what the governor has in mind policy-wise when we see that budget address later this month.
That was political reporter Pete Hirschfeld speaking with All Things Considered host Jen Jarecki.
Coming up, some non-statehouse news headlines. That's after this.
Thanks for tuning in to The Frequency, and thanks to Vita for their support. Vita, celebrating 50 years of helping Vermont businesses grow and thrive. From agriculture to energy, startups to established companies, find solutions that fit your business. Visit veda.org to start your next chapter.
The governor's inaugural address was the big news yesterday. But here's some other stories happening around the state.
Over 2,000 support staff at UVM Medical Center will have a chance to decide whether or not to join a union later this month. Employees can cast ballots in person between January 25th and 27th, according to a filing by the National Labor Relations Board. Some workers will be allowed to vote by mail. Eligible workers include licensed nursing assistants, food service workers, and medical interpreters, among others. If the employees choose to unionize, they'll join over 2,000 other hospital workers who are already part of a union, including nurses and resident physicians. In a statement, the hospital's chief operating officer said he encourages employees to vote in the election and to, quote, get educated on the issues. A union spokesperson declined to comment.
A man accused of disrupting a Montpelier City Council meeting asked a judge this week to dismiss the charges, citing free speech protections. Stephen Whitaker faces 4 charges, including disorderly conduct and resisting arrest. At a city council meeting in June, Whitaker allegedly spoke beyond the 2 minutes allowed for public comment and wouldn't stop when asked by the mayor. Police arrested him after he sat down and removed him from City Hall, according to court records. But Whitaker's attorney and the American Civil Liberties Union of Vermont say the charges should be thrown out. Harrison Stark is a staff attorney at the ACLU of Vermont.
If folks face a threat of criminal liability, potentially ending up in jail for the comments that they make to their elected representatives in a public meeting and during a public comment period, that's really concerning.
A judge has not yet ruled on Whitaker's motion.
And a state agency is accepting applications for a program that pays farmers to reduce phosphorus runoff on their property. Phosphorus can contaminate waterways and lead to algae blooms that damage ecosystems. Under the Vermont Pay for Performance program, farmers who show they can cut phosphorus coming from their land may be chosen for larger contracts to reduce nutrient runoff. Contracts averaged $18,000 last year, according to the Agency of Agriculture. The agency is accepting applications until January 20th.
Thanks for listening to The Frequency today. We had additional reporting from Liam Elder Connors and Kevin Trevelin.
Our executive producer is Mark Davis, and our music is by Blue Dot Sessions.
I'm Abigail Giles.
And I'm Henry Epp. Talk to you on Monday.
How are we supposed to fix what we don't talk about? Welcome to Homegoings, a Vermont Public podcast that encourages fearless conversations about art and race.
It's like an extended family, and especially around homegoing time.
Join us for Homegoings, wherever you get your podcasts. We're a proud member of the NPR Network.